Genesis chapter 11, beginning at verse 1, finishing at verse 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had bricks for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. And we'll end there the reading of God's word. Let me take you back to a meeting that I was in our town near home there in South Sudan. And I was sitting with a group of Darfurians, people from Western Sudan. And they were there to have a small opening of an ESL school. And as they normally do, each one has a chance to say a few words, introduce themselves and say a few words. And as it went around, I was expecting that I would be also asked to say something. And I was planning to speak about how there's an origin, there's a history in how our languages have been divided. Why they speak Arabic and I speak English, and they want to learn English. But there's a purpose that God has one day, not just having all those languages learn one language, but all these people learning one language, but actually the languages coming together in worship of Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't even have a chance to say my name. Because I think they knew that I was going to say something. They actually finished the meeting with a recitation of Quranic verses to formally open this school. Well, the desire, as you know, is for all peoples. So God's heart is for all peoples to come and worship Him in their own language. And the retelling of the story of this history of the Tower of Babel is very helpful for people to understand why there's such a division in languages. And this shows us God's plan for His people. It is not for us to be huddled together in one language in one place, as it was here in Babel. But the command from the Lord from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1 to Adam was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, to be dispersed over the face of the earth. And then that command was repeated to Noah in Genesis 9 after the flood, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And what do we find in Genesis chapter 10 is a lineage or a genealogy of the sons of Noah. And there's a break there in the genealogy where it speaks of the grandson of Shem, Peleg, that in his day there was a division of the people. And also in that generation was Nimrod, the grandson of Ham. And this is where in Genesis chapter 11 we find the people speaking one language. It's speaking of how they got dispersed, how they were divided. But at one time, they were in one place speaking one language. And this is what we read. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and they spoke the same words. And they migrated from the east to the plain of Shinar. That's Babylonia. And they settled there. And they said to one another, speaking this one language, being united together, let us build a city with a tower. Let us make a name for ourselves. And this is, from the very beginning, man's plan to be together, to be united, to make a name for themselves. And that's the first part we're going to see in Genesis 11. Man's plan, unity for their own namesake. And then we're going to see God's plan running through all of Scripture, which is diversity with unity for His namesake. We're going to do what's called biblical theology on the topic of languages. Maybe you never heard a message on languages. Why is it important that you understand biblical theology of languages? It's because we need to understand the historical origin of all languages and God's purpose for these languages. Again, Genesis chapter 11, we see man's plan in unity for their own namesake. They said these words, let us, come let us. Does that sound familiar? Let us, the triune God speaking, let us make man. Here they're now saying, let us make bricks. Let's make bricks out of mud mixed with straw. And let's bake them in the oven. Let's take tar, bitumen, as mortar, and let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches up into heaven. And let's make a name for ourselves. Do you know why they were doing this? It says in verse 4, so we will not be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Do you see the rebellion against God? We will make our own way to heaven. And we reject God's way on the earth. We will not be dispersed. So God comes down. He has to stoop down from heaven to see the children of men building their little city and tower, seeking to reach up to a height. And there he looks down and he says, behold, they are one people. And they have one language. That's significant. They're one with one language in one place, building this tower, refusing, rejecting to be dispersed on the face of the earth. And so he sees this and he judges them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. In their plans, in their own way, they sought to make a name for themselves, but God would not have it. He would not have His name be stolen, the glory of His name. So the triune God thwarts their ways. Now, has anything changed since Babel? Today, this is just one account, the beginning of monumental pride. People throughout the ages have been erecting structures, seeking to make a name for themselves, coming together with their plans. 9/11 was a destruction of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. You would think that New York would be on their knees repenting, but they did not. New York City instead built an obelisk-shaped tower they call the One World Trade Center. And when they announced the abortion bill legalizing the murder of babies up to birth, they had lights, pink lights that looked like blood, lighting up this tower. This is the modern world we live in. The rise of globalism, you know, English has become the international language. People coming together, with their own plans, the modern expression of man's plans, to unite for their own name's sake. Man's plan, again, a direct opposition to God's plan, which is diversity with unity for his name's sake. In Canada, what is diversity? In Canada, we have a diversity of religions. It's wonderful. Ottawa, Toronto, very diverse in religions. But their definition of pluralism is that they are equally valid. We have what's called diversity of sexual perversions, which is being celebrated everywhere. This is man's plans. God's plan for diversity is according to ethnic groups. He's the one who divided the people according to ethnic groups with their own languages. And it all originates in Babel. Then confirmed, God's plan is confirmed with Abraham when he says, "In you, I will bless all the nations." Then from Abraham, diversity according to language continues to spread across the earth until one day the Spirit of God comes down. And do you know when that is that I'm speaking of? Comes down and God begins to reveal his purposes for these languages. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, if you will. And here we see God's plan, diversity with unity for his name's sake. On this Lord's Day, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. What were they doing in one place? They were following the instructions of Jesus to wait in Jerusalem until they would be clothed with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. And as they waited on that day, suddenly, verse 2, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were seated in that one place. And now we have divided tongues. What does that look like exactly? It's hard to understand. Like fire appearing to them, resting on each of them, over them. And as they were filled, all filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues. That word is languages. They were speaking other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have three signs here of God's presence in this place where they were all gathered. One is the wind, the symbol of the Holy Spirit's presence in power coming into that room. We have fire, the symbol of God's holiness, purifying the uncleanness. And then we have tongues, portraying the power of speech used to proclaim now. At what they were speaking, they were proclaiming the mighty works of God in languages that now were being heard by the people gathered there at Pentecost. We see in verse 5, there in the dwelling in Jerusalem, there were Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound of the multitude came together, they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And at the sound of the multitude together, in verse 7, they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own native language?" I'm not sure if you've ever traveled to foreign lands where you're surrounded by a foreign language that you do not understand. As soon as you hear your mother tongue, you immediately recognize it. That's what happened there. They are hearing them, some of them, speak their own native language. And they were amazed. They were perplexed. What is the meaning of this? And in verse 9 to 11, it gives the list of these nations that were coming from all this known world where there were Jewish settlements. And they came to Jerusalem to worship the Lord. And they there at Pentecost, they were hearing these disciples telling the mighty works of God in their mother tongue. They were amazed. They were asking, What does this mean? And Peter stands up and he explains what this means. It's according to the prophecy of Joel. It's according to the prophets who spoke of the Messiah to come, who they crucified, but God raised them from the dead and seated him at his right hand, and now has poured out his promised Holy Spirit. And on that day, 3,000 of them in this crowd repented and were baptized, all according to God's plan. His definite, predetermined plan to divide, having divided all these tribes according to tongues, but on that day they would be together, united by a common faith in Jesus Christ. Pentecost was the beginning of reversing this judgment on Babel. As God's elect from every tribe and tongue, from all corners of the earth, are coming together, gathered together in their common faith in Jesus Christ. The people of God living for his name's sake. Even today, as the gospel is spreading throughout the world, there are still many thousands of people that are not worshiping the Lord in their own mother tongue. But they will. And in the midst of those people, one by one, small groups gathering and worshiping the Lord, they're surrounded by a majority of people who are saying, "What are you doing? Unite with us. Let's make a name for ourselves as the nations reject God." But the minority, they will speak, the remnant, they will speak the mighty deeds of God. As David wrote in Psalm 40, verse 9, "I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. Behold, I have not restrained my lips." You see the importance of language, of speaking the mighty works of God? Now, on what side are you on? The majority says, get on the right side of history. This is God's history. When we think of God's plan, though we might be the minority in following him, we are joining a great multitude of people throughout all of history that are gathering at the throne of the Lamb. And this is where we will find God's plan fulfilled at the consummation. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. This is the fastest you've ever been through the Bible. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Before we get to that, here we have a dilemma. There's a scroll, and there's no one seemingly worthy to open the scroll until the Lamb comes, and he is alone worthy to open the scroll. And what does that scroll represent? It represents God's purposes in history, in redemption. And he is worthy to open that scroll. And so around that throne, around the Lamb, you have the four living creatures, the 24 elders. They sing this song in verse 9. "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth." The Lamb of God alone takes away the sins of God's people. He purchases them by his blood. And he purchases representatives from the nations, the ethnic groups, the people groups that have their own language. He purchases them to make them a kingdom, to worship him forever and ever. Now, have you ever wondered, in heaven, the songs that we have here, what language are they speaking? Is there a heavenly language? We meet people and they say, it's Afrikaans. I don't know if I've ever heard an English person say that it's English, but there are some beautiful languages in the world. But could it be that we are singing our mother tongue and we are all a choir as a medley of all our voices and my voice sounding good for the first time as we sing to the Lamb? Perhaps we don't know. What is clear is that God's plan is to retain the diversity of these nations, these languages, these people groups, as they are one in Christ. The redeemed of the Lamb will sing His praises. And here's a question you need to ask yourself. Will you be there among the myriads upon myriads, the thousands upon thousands from all of these languages, these nations? Will you be there? God's plan is that here on earth, is that He frees people from living for themselves, for their own namesake, to live for the one who gave Himself, gave His life for them. That is the Lamb of God who redeemed people so that they can proclaim His praises. Let the redeemed say so. Let the redeemed praise the Redeemer. This is the ultimate purpose of language, is that with words we tell God and others what God has done for us. With language, we speak English. We have some French speakers here, Arabic speakers. But we have our mother tongue. We have our heart language. But this is among a world of over 6,500 languages. How do we communicate to one another, our brothers and sisters? God's plan in the end, in heaven, is that we will all be in one place, worshiping one God. Until then, we have a part in God's plan. If we follow God's plan, is that some are to go to the nations, and they are to learn the language of the people so that they can hear God's voice speak to them, that they can worship the Lamb, and they will be represented there at the throne of the Lamb. That's our part in sending people to the nations or going. But for all of us, it is to worship the Lamb in our heart language. He gave you English, a Psalter in English, a Bible in English, to sing His praises, to tell of His mighty works. So that we, one day, looking to that multitude, might continue to praise His name.